For the past month or so, you guys know Kyle's been working through this series called Fittish. And we've been talking about principles and habits that we need to put in place in our lives in order for us to become spiritually fit. Right? It's not enough to come here on Sunday morning and get fed and learn some things and worship and then do nothing the rest of the week. Like we've talked about some things you want to put into place so that we are continuing to grow, constantly growing spiritually and becoming more fit than fittish. I know this series has been encouraging to me. I hope it has to you. Last week, thinking about the promises of God, and hopefully you went home with some of those, like, just encouraging you and lifting you up, and maybe even writing them down, carrying them with you, so that you can have hope, you know, based on Scripture. This morning, we're going to look at this idea of being fit from a different angle. And we're going to talk about how we handle hurt, and we're going to kind of gauge our spiritual fitness based on how we do when people say or do things that hurt us. So we're going to get there in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about, you know, dropping some emotional weight today, hopefully getting rid of some of that stuff that's holding us down and weighing us down. But before we do that, I want to start with a quick activity. And I like to do this with our teens on Sunday nights. We start with a discussion question with them and try to get them thinking and talking about the topic that we have coming. So I have one for you this morning, and I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and turn to the people around you and discuss the question that's going to be on the screen right now. If you had $8 billion, all right, if you had $8 billion, what would you buy? If you had $8 billion, what would you buy? We all giggle because this is a number that's beyond comprehension. So go ahead, take a few minutes and talk. All right, hopefully you all have been dreaming big with this $8 billion that you were just given. I'm going to ask for some of you to share. What were some of the things you came up with that you want to buy? Go ahead, Heather.
Actually buy a big house.
Big house?
A chunk of land.
Nice.
Oh,
fantastic. All right, so big house, big chunk of land, and kind of create a place to take care of animals and kids. Go ahead.
Pay off my tuition.
Student loans, done. Kick Sally Mae to the curb, right? Get her out of here. All right, who else? Go ahead, Keenan.
I'll buy you a new house, Josh.
Thanks, Keenan. I appreciate that. Keenan's a very generous guy. Anybody else want to share? Go ahead in the back. All right, fantastic. All right, 4 billion Bibles for distribution. Make sure everybody's got a Bible in their hands. Fantastic. Anybody else? Anybody have anything crazy fun? You probably did.
It's my wife's idea, but I agree with her. Read Bible and
for Dwayne King. Oh, nice. Oh, for Dwayne King. Very good. Finish up that Kingdom Air Corps thing. Polish that off. Fantastic. I think I saw a hand in the back. Go ahead, Mr. Gill. Oh, man. Like a chain or just donuts? Just donuts. All right, just... Judy says no. All right, you would... All right, I am not going to spend too much time on my answer, but if I had $8 billion, I would probably buy a new house. Keenan's heard this before, so he probably knew that's where I was going. I love my house. You know, we've been there like 10 years. We've fixed it up kind of nice, done a lot of projects on it. But let's just say it's not in the nicest neighborhood. For example, we had a garbage can stolen from our curb while it still had garbage in it. So if I had $8 billion, I would probably find a new place to live. And it's kind of fun to think about having all that money, right? And we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But as many of you know, and as I think Ryan mentioned, last weekend our teens and many of our adult leaders were at the Reset Retreat. And we went down to a camp called Rock Mountain Bible Camp. It's about 40 minutes away in Gibson, Pennsylvania. There were 6 other churches there, about 150 people total. We had a really great weekend. With all of those churches and all of those kids, everybody got along. That was fantastic. We didn't have any injuries, except maybe like a concussion, but, you know, for a youth retreat, that's not that bad. We won't even count that. Our team that you saw up here, I was so proud of them. They led worship all weekend. Abby and these girls and guys, they did a fantastic, these girls. Yeah, I won't even say your names. These girls. I'm just kidding. Sue, Maddie, Aaron. I'm just kidding, Audrey. You guys did fantastic. Keenan was up there. They did a great job. They did a fantastic job leading worship. We had some great teaching sessions as well. Our theme for the weekend was kind of awkward and dealing with, the first guy preached from Hosea, and the title of the message was "When a Preacher Marries a Prostitute." So it was kind of fun, like, to work through that together. We talked about insecurity, and then I did the message Sunday morning. It was great. We had some, I wasn't saying my message was great. The messages as a whole were great. We played some fun games, and we had this one block of time that was kind of dedicated to games, to win points for your team. And they announced the next game that was coming, and it was a roast your youth pastor. Yeah. So when I hear that, I didn't know this was coming. So when I hear the next game is roast your youth pastor, I like break out in a cold sweat, right? Like, I'm not ready for this. And I start looking around at our group and I say, which one of these people is going to be brave / crazy enough to get up there and go ahead and roast me in front of all of their peers or whatever. And so when I saw this guy pop up out of his chair, I knew we were in for a treat. That's my man Gavin. He's back there running the Facebook live stream. So Gavin, he got up and he had us rolling. And a lot of the things that he said were kind of, particular to our group, those things, my quirks and whatever. So I'm actually going to show this to you so you all can join in on the roast of Josh. We've got just a couple minutes.
Hi, I'm Gavin. I'm with Grace Point Church. And I want to know, I want to let him know I love him, and that's why I'm going to try and roast his rear off right here. Josh!
Show up! How can you be a small group, guys? Teaching that's not fun. Impact font memes. How can you be a small group, guys? We just need to. So actually, this one time, wrestling. I have a video for you. Who loves Harry Potter, am I right? So, one time, Ellie, right? She breathed, right? So how can we as a small group represent Ellie's breathing? Yeah, you could be anywhere else in the world today, but
I was telling him that he was going to have to find a ride home. No, I love that kid. He's hilarious. We have a lot of fun with Gavin. And everything he said, right, he started it out by saying, I want him to know that I love him, right? Everything he said was done in love. Yeah, I might be a little self-conscious about how many times I say right now or how many times I run my fingers through my hair. But none of what Gavin said offended me or hurt me, right? Because I knew he was doing it out of love. But many of us have been in situations where people have said things about us or done things to us that weren't done in love, and they weren't very fun. Now, we've been picked on before. Maybe it's been somebody picked on the way you look or your accent, or they've picked apart a piece of your personality and kind of attacked you a little bit in that area. We're talking about hurt here. We're going to talk about hurt. And some of you have had your hearts broken, right? You've had that kind of hurt where you've had a spouse cheat on you and leave you. And you're left behind to pick up the pieces and try to make things right. Or maybe it's just in your marriage and you guys are, butting heads and you've both said things that are very hurtful and very painful and you're finding it hard to work through those things together. Or maybe it's a teacher who's kind of singled you out in the classroom and keeps picking on you, these little things, every day, and it just bothers you and it starts to make you hurt. Or maybe it's at work, somebody you work with, you have fun with, you know, at the end of a big project, something was missing and they threw you under the bus, right? Like it was all your fault. Or they stabbed you in the back, or you shared a secret with somebody, something that you didn't want to get out, but this person started talking about that to all of your other friends, or maybe posted it on social media or something like that. Maybe you've been lied to. Maybe you've been walked out on by a parent. Maybe you've been yelled at with no reason, or maybe you've been abused. Statistics tell us that in a room this size, there are probably quite a few people here who have experienced that horror and experienced that trauma. Now, all of your hurts and all of the pain that you feel, that's legitimate. All of your hurts are legitimate. And maybe you feel like you just have a few of them, but maybe you feel like you've got about 8 billion of them. This big mountain of hurt that's just kind of weighing you down. And you feel like you deserve better from your friends. You deserve better from your spouse or your ex-wife or your ex-husband. You deserve better from your kids. You deserve better from your teachers, from your co-workers. You deserve better from your pastors. You deserve better from God or the world in general. And if you're like me, you might have somebody's face or somebody's name that's like right here in the front of your mind, somebody that you're having trouble forgiving because of all the hurt they've kind of laid on you. It might be somebody in this room. It might be somebody that you're going to see when you get back home this afternoon or see when you go back to work or school later this week. Well, this morning, I want to help you get fit. And I want to help you to learn how to walk through hurt, how to handle hurt in your life, get past them. I want you to understand that you can't fully live until you forgive people, and I want you to lose that emotional weight. So we're going to look at Scripture, we're going to look at the teachings of Jesus, and we're going to develop a process for handling hurt, for walking through the pain that other people have caused us. And while we're doing that, I want you to kind of think about that person, kind of keep that person in your mind. How can I apply this with that person who's caused me pain? Now, as I was reading through my Bible a few weeks ago and kind of prepping for this message, I came across a passage that I had read, you know, dozens of times before, that I had worked on plenty of times, read through, thought that I kind of knew inside and out. But when I read through it this time, has this ever happened to you? It felt like I got hit between the eyes with a 2x4. Can I get an amen? Those who read through their Bibles, yeah. You should read your Bible because it do be like that sometimes. It hits you right here once in a while. So this was a passage, Matthew 18, that I had worked through, studied for quite a bit, but I had never seen it from this angle, how Jesus is kind of helping us handle hurt, trying to help us figure out how we respond when people hurt us. So we're going to start in Matthew 18, verse 15. For our scholars in the group and those who have been around church world for a long time, this passage you've seen from a different angle than we're going to go today. And I understand that this is commonly used for instances where people have sin that they just are not repentant of and the church needs to deal with. But today we're going to look at the more practical applications of this as it relates to our interpersonal relationships, just with normal people we come across on a day-to-day basis. So I understand that's the way we normally look at it, but we're going to look at it from a more practical perspective this morning. So Matthew 18, beginning in verse 15, let's start reading the words of Jesus here in verse 15. We'll have them on the screen or they're in your hands in front of you. So if another believer, or I'm going to say if a friend, a co-worker, a spouse, someone you trusted, if another person sins against you or hurts you, go privately and point out the offense. And if the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. So the first step in handling hurt, the first thing you need to do when somebody does something that causes you pain is admit the pain. Right, we've got to admit the pain, admit that it hurt us. And part of admitting the pain is going and talking to the person and telling them that what they said or what they did hurt you. It offended you. It caused you grief. It's something you can't let go. Now, obviously, there's a certain way that you want to do this. Correct. We don't want to come into this conversation with both guns blazing, you know, spewing hate and blame and anger at this person for what they said or did to us. That's probably not going to be received well. We're not going to have a great outcome if we do that. We're going to want to think and pray about what this person said to us and how it made us feel and how we can share that with the person that hurt us. We're going to try to set up a time to talk to this person. You're not going to blindside this person or, you know, jump on them when they're not ready for it and have this conversation. You want them to know that it's coming. Hey, can we get some coffee? I have something I want to talk to you about. That kind of, hey, can I take you out to lunch? I have something I want to talk to you about. And we want to do that. And we want to calmly explain how what they said or did hurt us. And hopefully, right? Hopefully, if we're able to do that, if we're able to admit the pain, talk about how what they said or did hurt us, these people are going to acknowledge it, they're going to apologize, and the relationship can begin to be restored, and we can start to move on. But what do we do, though? If we'd admitted the pain, we calmly and gently approached this person and told them how what they did hurt us, but they just kind of say, I'm just going to keep doing what I did, or I don't feel like what you said is valid. What do we do if we get to that point with somebody? Well, let's keep reading. Jesus keeps talking about it as we move on here in verses 16 and 17. He says this, "If you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And if the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector." So a second step in handling hurt. The second step in handling hurt is seeking support. You're going to find other people that you can talk to about the issue. You're going to seek support. Find other people who you can take to this person and explain what's happened, how you've been hurt. Let's take just a second to pause on that, right? So first, we go to the person one-on-one. Then, we talk to other people about what happened with the goal of, you know, restoring this relationship and going back to that person and talking to them about how what they did hurt us. But most of us, we like to reverse those two steps. When somebody hurts us, we want to make sure everybody knows, right? We want to make sure everybody knows how what they said or did was offensive to us, how it made us feel. We want to put it on Facebook. We want to make sure all of our common friends know that this person is a jerk and that we shouldn't be talking to them anymore. We jump right to this step, but that's not what Jesus wants us to do. He also doesn't want us to like repress this hurt, right, and shove it down inside and not deal with it, because that's not going to be helpful either. We can kind of handle the hurt that way, but it's not going to heal. It's going to come back out at some point. It's going to explode. So if we follow the steps, if we can handle our hurt by admitting the pain and seeking support, hopefully these people that have offended us or hurt us will apologize. We can begin to restore the relationship. But if the person who hurt you won't respond to you, and they won't respond to this group that you've brought, common friends maybe who can talk through the problem with, if they won't respond to them either, the next step is to cut ties. The next step is to cut ties. Jesus says to treat them like a pagan or a tax collector. Now, does this mean that we actively hate these people? Everybody, give me one of these. No, we don't actively hate these people. Does it mean that we try to ruin their lives? No, does it mean that we talk bad about them to everybody we see and everybody we know? No, we're not going to do that. We're cutting ties. Jesus wouldn't want that, but sometimes that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that there's a hurt for a hurt. You made me feel bad, I'm going to make you feel bad. But that's not going to help. It's not the play here. Are you best friends with these people anymore? Probably not. Are you going to put yourself in a position to be hurt by them over and over again? No. You're kind of removing yourself from that. We cut ties, but we're civil. Right? We're not vindictive. We're not petty. We're hopeful that they will change their ways. And that's how Jesus was with the pagans and the tax collectors, right? Jesus didn't actively hate them. He wasn't always talking bad about them. He realized that they needed a healer. He often went to them to try to help them change. So we're hopeful that these people can change and respond better to us. And many of us would be glad for the process to stop here. And to be honest, this is kind of where I thought the process ended. I kind of, you know, went through these steps and I've cut ties. Fantastic. I don't have to be friends with that person anymore. They're not friends with me anymore. Hopefully we don't have to see each other or talk to each other ever again. And maybe you've been there. And if you have, both you and I know that there's still something inside that's bothering us. There's still something inside that's weighing us down. We've handled the hurt to an extent, but we haven't healed from the hurt. And if we're honest, we're still kind of bitter. There's something that's still broken in there, and we're not the same as we used to be. That's a fun ringtone. I don't know where that's coming from. That's hilarious. So we're carrying around an emotional weight, right? And that's what we're talking about, trying to drop this emotional weight. We're carrying that around, and it's keeping us from being spiritually fit. And I think Peter understood that. Peter was very perceptive because if we read just a few verses down, Peter asks a question of Jesus here in verse 21. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. He says, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me or hurts me," right, in our context? Seven times? Let's pause right there. Honestly, I think Peter's being pretty generous here. Right? How many of you would get to that point or have gotten to that point with somebody? Like, yeah, I'll forgive you seven times. No, like that's unnatural for us to think we want to forgive somebody seven times. Peter's a pretty good dude for saying this. Like Jesus kind of shoots him down in the next sentence here, but I respect Peter for saying he could go to seven. I could maybe go to two, and then I'm done with you. All right? But he's a pretty good dude. But let's keep reading. So Jesus replies to him, and he says, "No, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven." We're not going to get caught up in the math. It's not about 490 times. We're not, you know, we don't have a wall with the, like in the prison cell where we're checking things off, how many times we've forgiven these people and taken them back again. That's not what it's about. It's about the principle of forgiveness and how much there is there. Peter understood that there was one more hurdle to get over, and that's why he asked the question. And that hurdle is the hurdle of forgiveness. So the final step in handling our hurt is to fully forgive. It's to fully forgive. And like I said, Peter was like us. He was maybe willing to try to forgive, but like many of us, we get to a certain point where we say, that's enough. There's been too much hurt. You've caused too much pain. You've apologized, but you haven't changed the way you acted. I'm willing to try again up to a certain point, but after that, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm never going to forgive you again. I can't imagine a world in which I fully forgive you for the pain that you've caused me. And if you're anything like me, when I was reading this passage, I had a name pop into my head. And I had an event pop into my head where I was like, I don't know if I can do it. It's been too much pain, too much hurt. It's just piled up, and I don't think I can forgive. But Jesus, of course, turns this idea of not forgiving people on its head. And he does it by telling us a story. And when Jesus tells a story, the people in the story represent someone. So as we walk through this story together, I'm going to kind of tell us who these people represent. So let's go ahead and start reading. Jesus says this, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king." God's the king, okay? God is the king in this story. "Who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants." That's us, right? We are God's servants. "Who had borrowed money from him, and in the process, one of his debtors," so pretend it's you, I'm going to pretend it's me, "one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me and I'll pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and he forgave his debt." And I don't want us to miss what's happening here. So again, the king in this story is God, and the debtor represents you and me. And I know that our passage says that this debtor owed the king millions of dollars, but if we actually do the math, it's more like $8 billion. this debt, this mountain of debt that we can't even conceive, that could never be paid. And instead of thinking in terms of dollars, I want you to think in terms of hurts. The times that our sin, our actions, our words, our thoughts, the times that our sins have offended God, they've created this huge mountain of debt. It's like that song we sang, you know, there's this chasm that we can't get across. There's this mountain that we can't climb. There's this huge pile of hurts against God that we've accumulated. But God, right, through Jesus Christ, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, has wiped that mountain out. He's forgiven it all. It's such a beautiful picture of the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ. This mountain of hurts just wiped out because the King said, I forgive you. That's you and that's me. That's where we are in this story. So Jesus goes on. Remember, we're talking about forgiveness? And he talks about what it looks like when people like us who've been forgiven so much, such a huge amount of debt, won't forgive other people. We won't extend forgiveness to other people. Let's keep reading the story. So when the man left the king, so when I go out, I go to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I'll pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Can you see the absurdity in the picture that Jesus is painting here? This man had been forgiven a mountain of debt. An inconceivable amount of hurts were forgiven. This mountain, and he's going after his fellow servant for a pebble. And that's what it looks like when we don't forgive people who've hurt us. When those who've been forgiven so much don't extend that forgiveness to other people who have hurt us. And Jesus isn't saying that your hurts aren't legitimate. I've said that multiple times today, and Jesus would say the same thing to you. He's not saying that there isn't a debt owed for all of the hurts that you've experienced. What he's trying to say is that those who've been forgiven much need to forgive much. Forgiven people forgive other people. It's part of being spiritually fit. Let's quickly wrap up the story. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, understandably so. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven, and he said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt. I forgave you all of those hurts because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant? Shouldn't you have mercy on your friend? Shouldn't you have mercy on your enemy? Shouldn't you have mercy on your ex-wife, on your ex-husband, your teacher, your parents? Shouldn't you have mercy on them just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." Say it one more time. Your hurts and my hurts are legitimate. We've all been picked on. We've all been kind of pushed around. We've all been made fun of. We've all been betrayed or stabbed in the back. Many of us have been left and unloved by people who should have loved us the most. We've been mistreated. We've all been hurt. But God has forgiven you. And he has forgiven me this inconceivable number of hurts. Yet we want to hold a grudge against people for the little things that they've done to us in comparison. Jesus says that's no way to handle our hurts and it's no way to live. You can't fully live until you forgive. You can't fully live until you forgive. And you can't become spiritually fit if you're carrying around this weight of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. It's just not going to happen. So I have a few final questions for you this morning. Who has hurt you in the past? Who are you thinking about? When I paused and asked you, you know, said, you know, I thought of somebody. Who are you thinking about? Or who's hurting you right now? Who's somebody that's causing you pain right now? Who's caused you not to trust? Who's caused you not to love or to not be friendly anymore? Whose actions or words have made you kind of bitter and vengeful and angry? You can't fully live until you forgive those people. I have a really tough question for you. Will you forgive that person today? Will you forgive that person today before you leave this room, before you leave this service? I did share this message last week at camp, and I got an email from one of the other youth pastors, and he said he was sitting in front of two of his teen girls, and he said, I don't think they know Jesus, you know, but they come to youth group regularly. He said they both have had really hard lives. Both sets of parents are divorced. You know, they're kind of stuck in the middle. Parents are walking out on them all of the time, and they're kind of left to pick up the pieces. He goes, so this message resonated with them. He knew that they had experienced hurt. And when I got to this point in the message, and I said, will you forgive that person today? They both audibly said, no, I won't do it. And it broke his heart to hear that, but he was also encouraged to know that they understood that Jesus was calling them to forgive the people who had hurt them. And he's doing the same thing for each of us today. We've all experienced hurt. We've all experienced pain, but we're called to forgive. And that's the only way we can be spiritually fit. So whose hurts do you need to forgive today? You've got your bulletin there. You've got your notes. Ryan's going to play a song. I'm going to pray for a little while. You guys have some time to think through who you might need to make a phone call to today. I know at least one person sent a text after the first service. They did it right away. They needed to take care of it. And so maybe there's somebody or something you need to take care of today. So let me pray for you. And as you think about that, you don't even have to listen to me. If you've got to do some work with God right now, that's fine. But I'm going to pray for you while you do. Father, we love you. And as we sang those songs this morning, and as we read through this story, and we consider the great debt that you've forgiven us, this mountain that we could never climb on our own, this chasm that we could never cross, that Jesus crossed it for us. That on the cross he took the weight of our sin and guilt and shame, mine and everybody in this room, he put it all upon himself. And you said that was enough. All can be forgiven. Jesus paid the price. We're so thankful for that truth today. We're so thankful for that blessing today that we can be forgiven. Help us to not lose sight of that. Help us to remember this story that Jesus told, these inconceivable number of hurts that we've caused you that were forgiven. Help us, God, to remember that mountain and be able to forgive the pebbles that we're holding against other people. A lot of them probably don't feel like pebbles. They feel like mountains. Be some catastrophic things that have happened to people in this room. And I don't know everybody's situation. It could be something from a long time ago, or it could be something from just a few days ago that's tearing them up. It's causing them pain and hurt. But I just ask that you would help them to forgive so that they can truly live. Thank you for your word, and that every time we read it, we can learn something new, that our hearts can be challenged, that we can see you in a new and greater way, understand more and more what you've done for us and what you're calling us to do for other people. Pray that you continue to do that in my life, you continue to do that in the life of my friends here this morning. I pray for those who are going to have a hard conversation this afternoon, or maybe even on the ride home, or maybe tomorrow when they get to work or school. I just ask that you'd give them courage. You'd help them to work through their hurt, that ultimately they would get to the point where they can forgive. We love you. We thank you that you've forgiven us so much. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray all this in His name. Amen. Told you I'd get you out early. You can continue those conversations or take some time to do business with God this morning. Y'all have a great week.